Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week, I had the privilege of attending the first ever Lutheran Leadership Conference up north in Chicago, Illinois. And for 3 whole days, me, 2 of our lay leaders from Grace here, and 800 other people across the Wisconsin Lutheran Church body all gathered together to worship and to learn how we might better be Lutheran leaders, to lead people to Christ and to the cross and to the promise of forgiveness we have because of that. And there were some things that I received that I was expecting to receive. When you're in worship with 800 people, you can sing as loud as you want, and you will barely be able to hear yourself with the instrumentation, with the musicians that come when you gather all those gifts together and plan it for who knows how many months beforehand as well. I also received, which was the main reason for me going, a lot of information. A lot of models of ministry, a lot of information of how I might be a better Christian leader and how I might be able to raise our members up at Grace as well, to be those Christian leaders to bring people to the cross. In fact, I got so much information that it's all sitting in a giant binder on my desk that I will be getting through tomorrow so I can hopefully steal it and bring it into practice here. But there were some other things that I learned, things that I remember that I wasn't expecting. Things like how such a little thing like light and darkness can affect you and what you want to do. When we got up super early in the morning, around 6 up in the morning in our hotel room, we would pull back the drapes and to see just how much light was out there in Chicago. And the dawn was just starting to come up. Sun was just coming over the horizon. And we closed out in the afternoon because Chicago's so far north and they do daylight savings. The day is almost over, even though you just get done with your business stuff. And we had tons, we had a few hours between presentations and dinner, but I found that I didn't want to go play tourist. I kind of was just happy just to stay in the hotel room, reconnect with people, and just to kind of decompress a little bit. Because when it's dark, you don't want to go outside and try to navigate streets you've never been on. Not only was it dark, but also up north in Chicago in January, it's not the greatest time to visit. And even though it's 20 degrees, which was pretty nice for Chicago, it's still 20 degrees. It is very cold, even when the sun is shining on you. And so I was happy that conference was inside. And I was even happier to come back to Tucson and to remember how much I appreciate our warm and abundant sunshine we have here. As you know, and as I know, but as I remembered, light and darkness can have an effect on you. It has connotations attached to it. And darkness can put a damper on what it is you want to do, and so is associated with not so good things. And that's also true in a spiritual sense. We look at what the prophet Isaiah shares with us this morning, and the way he describes a person's life without Christ is one that is in complete darkness. One that has no light in it. And yet, even though every human is born in this darkness of sin, we know that not all of us are doomed to such a dark life. But rather, we have seen the light that Jesus is, the light of our salvation. And as we will be learning, as we go through these verses this morning and see where do we find this light, we go to God's Word. For that is the only place to show where God shows us His light. And we see what we receive in the light of Christ. One that brings us joy to this very day. I find it interesting when you look at what was happening in Isaiah's day, just how bad things had gotten. It's only 200 years before that the kingdom of Israel was one of the glory days of kings David and Solomon, but things had gone quite south since then, both politically and spiritually. Politically, a civil war had split the country apart, pitting family member against family member, and making Israel just one of the many small nations in the ancient Near East. But also spiritually, the people and the leaders of God were no longer going to God for answers, but rather they were looking elsewhere for answers. We see Isaiah talk about this with his opening questions, where he writes, "When they tell you, consult the mediums and the spirits who whisper and mutter. Shouldn't the people consult their God? So they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Rather than go to God for answers, instead the people went to seances and clairvoyance and who knows what else. Figure out what only God can say." No, as Isaiah tells them, if you want to know what God says, there's only one place to go. And that's the Word. Or as Isaiah called it in his day, to the law and to the testimony, the Old Testament scriptures. If people do not speak according to this word, there will be no dawn for them. If a person is looking for God's light outside of God's word, well, their search is going to be in vain. They will fumble about in that darkness, and they will not have any form of dawn or light upon them at all. Now, if you ever have been in a time where it's complete darkness, you know how hard it is to function. Maybe it's a cave tour that you go on and they turn the lights out. Or maybe it's you're in your house and the power goes out at night and you wonder how you can get around when all of a sudden light is gone. As difficult as we may find it to get around in physical darkness, this darkness that comes from sin, it's far worse. Listen how Isaiah describes those who live in complete sinful darkness. They will pass through the land distressed and starving. But when this takes place and they are starving, they will be frustrated. And they will curse their king and their God. They will turn their faces upward. And then they will look down to the ground. But I tell you, they will only see distress, darkness, and the gloom that brings anguish. Then they will be banished into thick darkness. They will endure physical and emotional hardships that could have been avoided if they went to God's word. They will curse those in authority that they hold accountable for what is happening in their lives. They will live out their days in gloomy anguish only to be continued for eternity when they're banished into the thick darkness that hell certainly is. When we look at how Isaiah describes the plight of these people, it can seem rather dramatic. But it is an accurate description. An accurate description for those today who also continually reject God and His Word, who look for His light in all the wrong places. I'll agree with you that when we open our pages of the Bible, we don't find all the answers that we're trying to find necessarily. What's life going to look like a year from now? What should I get to show my wife of 1 Corinthians 13 love this coming Valentine's Day that I can get on Amazon Smiles that help support church at the same time? Or why did that beloved child of God suffer that horrible incident that seemed to make no sense? Well, God tells us many things in His Word. He does not answer each and every question. But what He does tell us is enough. But sometimes we're not happy with God, with what God tells us. And we can look elsewhere for answers. We can look to the occult and the supernatural, thinking that, well, maybe the dead, those who were in the other world, in the other life, that maybe they can provide the answers that we're looking for. We can place a blind trust in what science says, because there's a lot of smart people out there. And they all got to be right if they all say that this is right, after all. Or perhaps we can get so lost in the darkness that's trying to creep back into us. And we can curse God and hold Him accountable for not doing the things that we think He should be doing. But there's a reason why Isaiah calls out the mediums and spiritists of his day, because they have nothing to offer. They are absolutely useless. If you're trying to find what God's truth is, there's only one place to go. The Word. As we look in that word, we see all that our God has told us and plenty more than what we need. And even He may not answer every question, we certainly have His promises, His guidelines to give us that assurance that when we get to heaven, we will see exactly why what happened in this world, why that was the case. But as we look at this word, we see we need nowhere else to go. Why should we go to the occult and the supernatural? Just after all, as Isaiah asked the people of his day, shouldn't the people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Rather than go to the dead for answers, go to the living God who made all that lives. Rather than place our blind trust in science, let us remember that science is man's attempt to explain what is happening around us. We are right on the money in many areas. But we don't have the final say, nor do we understand how everything came to be, how God made this world and created everything in 6 24-hour days. Rather than curse God for not doing what we think He should be doing, instead, let us dig into this word. so we can see what God has promised to do and hold him to those promises and only what he has said he will do. It is the Bible alone where we go to find what God's truth is, but it's not only in these matters we look to his word. We also look to his word alone to find the light of our salvation and what this light can offer us. You see, the Bible is not just unique because God alone is its author, but because its content is centered on Jesus Christ, that light of the world. As we heard from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4, the reason why Jesus went up to Galilee and lived in Capernaum for a while was to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said for us this morning, where he said, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And on those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, a light has dawned." What you and I probably better know as Galilee was known in Isaiah's day as the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And it was in this area that Jesus spent the majority of his time on earth, where he was raised as a child in the town of Nazareth, where he did his first miracle at a wedding in Cana, where he went to Capernaum and did countless miracles and taught countless lessons in Capernaum and along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as Jesus introduced himself to all the people around, he was showing them the light that he is, the light that scatters away the darkness of sin. It's a darkness that you and I were once part of. For when we were born in this world, we were born completely lost in this sin, in this darkness. And there was no light that we could bring to ourselves. And by nature, we are no different than those who continue to live in this darkness, who reject God's word and the light himself. We too were once walking in the valley of the shadow of death, on a path leading straight towards eternal death. But then the light dawned upon us. Jesus made known to us what he has done and enlightened us about the path that is leading to eternal life, to heaven. But there's no way that we could bring ourselves to that path on our own. Rather, it had to be done for us by having our sins forgiven. Even though Jesus spent the majority of his time on earth in the region of Galilee, we better know him for what he did in the southern region, the region of Judah. Where in the capital city where Jesus was falsely found guilty, reluctantly nailed to a cross, and finally confirmed dead. And even though darkness reigned over the land for 3 hours from noon to 3 p.m. on that Good Friday, and even though Jesus' followers certainly grieved in darkness afterwards, a light would dawn on them 3 days later. For Jesus had risen. He had kept his word. He paid the price for our sins and said that anyone who believes in him for salvation, whoever calls him their light, well, they have forgiveness. They have joy. They have peace. They can say with the prophet Isaiah, as he said so long ago, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. My brothers and sisters, as we traverse through this world to our heavenly home, we are no longer walking in darkness. We no longer travel in the valley of the shadow of death. No longer are we on that path leading towards the eternal death that hell is. But no, we have seen the light. We have received the light, the one that is Jesus himself. And it is this light that brings us joy. Joy because we know that our sins are forgiven. The reason why Jesus died on that cross was to pay for our sins, to receive that which we should have received. He received it in our place, paying the price that we could never pay, so that we may be forgiven, to assure us that we have joy because we have peace. Peace with the Almighty God himself, that there is nothing separating us anymore. We can go to him in prayer, and he will certainly hear and answer what is best for our eternal good. But not only do we have joy in this life, but joy for what is to come. The certainty that we will be in our heavenly home for all time. And all that because we walk in the light of Christ. And it's also this joy that encourages us of how we might let this light shine to those who are still lost in sin's darkness. When I was back in Chicago, I was surprised. My roommate and I were surprised by just how reflective the skyscrapers were. Let me tell you how. Our hotel room had a window that faced directly due north. And in the morning when we opened up the shades to see just how much snow was on the ground, to see just how light it was, I could have swore that our room had picked up and had turned direction, so it was facing directly east. Because we opened up that window shade, and there was the dawn looking right at us. Until I realized it was a skyscraper reflecting the dawn from all over east and just happened to be in front of us. The physics were just right, or the geometry was just right there. Now I know none of our scripture begins to talk about buildings or reflecting light or things like that, but might it be good for us to consider how we can share this joy of Jesus' light with those who are lost in sin's darkness around us? Might we consider how it is that we can live with our thoughts, words, and actions and have them be mistaken for Christ's own thoughts, words, and actions? If I got that dawn confused with the building's light or building's reflectiveness to it, I don't think we could. At least we could strive to have that light show from us in such a way that they might see it as Christ's own light. But again, as you guys have heard a couple times already, this last week, a lot of my time was in Chicago. And I remembered a few things that I've known, but it hit me new. I remembered how much I appreciate Tucson's sunshine and the warmth of it. But I also remembered what a damper darkness can be. When we look in the spiritual sense, as Isaiah shows for us, life without Christ is certainly described as darkness, as it certainly is, a darkness that we once knew full well. For we were born in sin, walk in the valley of the shadow of death, leading to the eternal death that hell is. And yet that is no longer the case, because we have seen the light which is found only in God's word. If we peruse these pages to see what all that this light is, we see who this light is and what we have. The one who, because of what he did in the regions of Galilee and in Judah, that he alone is the light of our salvation, who gives us the joy of peace, the joy of forgiveness, the joy of knowing that we're no longer walking that path to hell, but now we're on the path to heaven. A joy that is ours for all time. A joy that encourages us. How we too might be that light to others lost in sin's darkness. My closing thought for us this morning is that we may remember this joy we have, to never take for granted the light that we have been shown, the light that is within us. We may always remain in the light, but also consider how we can let this light shine as well to those lost in sin and its darkness. Amen.